Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your presence here today. Thank you, Lord, for your leading, your guiding. Once again, Lord, I surrender to you. I in myself, I'm inadequate, Lord, but you are adequate. You're more than enough. So, Lord, we seek you this morning. We seek to hear from you and you alone. So to that end, Lord, I yield myself. I thank you, Lord, as I open my mouth, you're going to fill it, Lord. And you're going to do what your plan and your will is this morning by the Holy Spirit. For that we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name and give you honor and glory forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We do serve a mighty God, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 16. We're going to read the whole chapter, 11 verses. As I was sitting at work this week, I was captured in the quietness on Friday. There weren't many people in the building and not many people coming and going. It was just a really quiet day. And as I was there, I was thinking and meditating on the Lord and just waiting on Him. Just, again, praising and worshiping Him. Some thoughts began to occur to me and came to me and just absolutely blessed me. I got to thinking about some scriptures. One of them was Psalm 16. The specific verse is verse 11, but I want to read the whole chapter. So if you'll follow with me, in fact, if you want to stand, we'll give honor to God's word today. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. As I explained to the musicians this morning, as I was sitting there this week, just meditating on the Lord, just quiet time, as I had the time, there wasn't a lot of people running in and out. I mean, there were people coming and going, but very low key. I mean, we only had maybe a third of the building there. Out of a 14-story building, that's not a whole lot of people. Just enough to say there's some coming and going. But inside my heart, as I began to meditate on the Lord, the scripture came up inside of me, the one that we talk about a lot. In fact, it's always on the screen up here, is that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. I believe that's the one that's up there. Anyway, and all of a sudden, my spirit just, I mean, was reaching out to the Lord. And inside me, I realized that he is the one who is far beyond what I could ever ask, hope for, or think, or desire. Amen? The scripture says, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen? He is our counselor, our provider, our healer. He is the one who is there, an ever-present help in time of need. Amen? And I don't know about you, but as I even think about that now, I mean, it's just like there's joy just exploding inside me, because God, because of the promises of God, because of the experiences in my life and the experiences in your life, I don't just get excited about the things God does for me, although I get very excited about that, but I get excited about the things that happen in your lives too. And we should all feel the same way, because that builds our faith. It shows us that God's at work. He's doing what He wants to do and what He's planned to do. Amen? I know the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, that I think towards you. Thoughts to prosper and not to harm you, and to give you a hope and a future. Amen? Praise the Lord. I know He's with me, and I know He's with you. And the one thing that we need to be aware of, if we've been listening to the messages on the presence of God, is the fact that we can't go anywhere or do anything that we're not in the presence of God, short of flat-out sin. But even then, God's presence is there. Amen? We know that by Scripture. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Spirit, or of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of this age." Amen. Now, the reason I bring that scripture up is because of the fact that when I'm meditating on this, is that I'm thinking about this, God's reminding me, and I'm seeing, as David did, the lion and the bear. Amen? I realize there's not one moment in my life, no matter what I thought, no matter what I perceived, that He was not right there with me. Every one of us have aspirations and hopes and desires and things, but you know the greatest desire in my life at this moment, right now, where I'm at, is Him. Does that mean that I don't have some things that I desire? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, but He is the main thing that I desire. And one of the things I know, because of Him, His presence, I'm in His presence, and because He's my Father, and because of the promises He's given me, is that those other desires, because my focus is on Him, like Matthew 6:33 says, amen, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these other things will be added to you," I know that those things will be taken care of. I don't have to be worried about them. I don't have to be concerned about them. And I don't have to get concerned about the things that come up in my face. There are people committing suicide right now because of the fall of the economic structure of this country and of the world. They've given their life to financial things and to money, which means the money possessed them. They didn't possess the money. And your Bible and my Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, the love of money. I'm reminded of the rich young ruler. When he asked, "What do I need to do?" He asked Jesus, "What do I need to do to be saved?" And Jesus told him. And he said, "I've done those things. I've observed those things and done those things since I was a child." Jesus said to him, "One thing you lack." See, he wasn't caught up in the presence of God and the fact that God's there watching him, protecting him, taking care of him, and providing his needs. He was possessed by the money. And that's why he went away sad when Jesus said, "One thing you lack. Take up your cross, follow me. Sell all you have, follow me," and he went away sad. Why? He gave up the best treasure for a treasure on this earth. Doesn't the Bible say, "Where your heart is, there will your treasure be also"? I remember the old song. We like old songs around here. "My hope is built on nothing less." Let's think about those words for a minute. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I dare not trust the sweetest frame, or I dare not trust the sweetest thing, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. Amen? Praise the Lord. He gives us a command. See, what we lose sight of is the fact that, and this comes from the selfishness we've been taught. As I was laying in bed this morning, I mean, God woke me up at 4:30, and I was laying there just praising Him and worshiping Him, and there's some things coming up in the next few Wednesdays, Sundays, whatever we have, I know He's going to expound on. But He brought some things to my focus, and one of them is selfishness. Selfish is always, how do I say this? Selfish is I want what I want at others' expense. Did you catch that? I want what I want at others' expense. And that's not God. God gave everything at His own expense for others. Amen? I've given my life to Him. I've made my decision. I've given my life to Him. I want to praise, I want to worship Him, and I want to see His kingdom propagated, not my little kingdom or my little world. Come in here with me. And that's why, because as I look back in my history, I've seen the hand of God in everything. Even at the darkest, most terrible moments of my life. One of which, and part of what spurred this, was Christmas Day. My son, despondent. We can understand that. There's no criticism there. He's grieving. But the point is, like the scripture says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And as I think on these things, and God's dealing with me, I understand. I'm not out to talk to Him about this. I trust God. He's in God's hands. I've already made that decision. But as God's dealing with me on this, I'm thinking, okay, they wanted to go and do something in honor of His mother. Well, the scripture says to honor your mother and your father. I have no problem with that. But it doesn't mean some people think it means. I've made the statement that I trust, I'll follow any man who follows God. Amen? I don't have a problem with that because we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. But here's the thing that I know for sure. When you spit in God's eye and you choose your way, you have taken yourself out of His hand of protection, and ultimately, His mother paid the price for it. Now that may seem harsh. That may not be something people want to hear, but it's the truth. Now what am I saying? First of all, honor her for what? For betraying them and spitting on their feelings and stomping on their feelings? Going back on the words that she made vows? She made vows with her words? And then rejecting God to the point where now, once again, she has paid the price? So the ultimate hurt has been experienced. And am I supposed to honor that? My Bible says that I'm supposed to honor the Lord. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? See, the reason for the feelings is sensualness. Now, why am I bringing this up? Why? The reason I'm bringing this up is because the Scripture says, and we'll look at this Scripture here just a moment or two. Remember that it says that He, the Lord, will keep him in perfect... This is in Isaiah chapter 26, I believe it's verse 3, and we'll read it in a few moments. He will keep him in perfect peace. He will keep him, or you and I, in perfect peace if our minds are stayed on You. Grieving is a natural process. There's nothing wrong with that. But you don't want to let the grieving control you to the point where you don't think logically. Now, I understand God's dealing with me, too, to understand a little bit more about this eros and phileo love that we walk in. And that's another area where God's all of a sudden started to bring focus, and I'm studying in so I can get a better understanding. And I can't wait to preach what God gives me. But what I'm saying is, where I am right now, my focus isn't on that. Yes, I hurt for my kids, and I understand the grieving. There's nothing wrong with that. But my focus is on what God has delivered me through, what God has brought you and I through, and what the fact that my heart is filled with joy, exploding within me because He has been with me through every situation. I recently went to a memorial service for another person in Denver who was well known. And very little, if any, did I ever hear anybody give God any glory. But they basically just made it sound like this person was just the best thing that ever happened to this earth. I'm not here to judge that. But what I am here to hear, and what my spirit was grieved about, is God was not getting credit and glory for what happened in this person's life. There's no question this person was a Christian. There's no question that they love the Lord. But my question is, who do we love more? And why is my heart exploding within me? Because no matter what I've suffered, no matter what I've gone through, and no matter what you've gone through, God has always been there. Amen? Is that right or wrong? Yeah. He's always been there, and He's always been ready and faithful to help us out in our time of need. That's what He says. That's one of His promises. Praise the Lord. Psalm 31, 19 and 20. Oh, how great is Your goodness, which You have laid up for those who fear You. And that word fear doesn't mean be afraid, it means respect. Which You have prepared... Let me go back. Oh, how great is Your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. From the plots of man, you shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Again, I want to bring attention to the fact, the difference of the two things of, well, I'm going to have to wait. I don't want to go there, start ministering something that I'm not fully ready to minister yet. But, you know, love is something that is not a feeling. Love is a decision, and it's not based on. And this is the thing. I have no problem with someone who loves somebody, even who's doing the wrong thing. We're commanded to do that. We don't want any part of their sin or their unrighteousness, but we're commanded to love them. We don't even have to like them, but we have to love them. And what does that mean? I want you to consider that for a few minutes in your life. I don't know that I'm going to go any further with that. I don't believe that's what God wants me to do this morning. But I'm going to tell you, though, that you have to look at the motive of your heart. When you say, I love, why do you love? Is it because you're doing everything I like? Let me ask you a question. Here's Jesus, who has given his life for others. Even in the face of rejection, ridicule, abuse, Scripture says he came to his own didn't receive him, gave everything for us. And then there's another person who, just because of their birth, in the right category or in the right circumstances, you would give honor to, but they show no honor for God, and they show no honor for the people they've been entrusted with, the children. They show no respect for the vows they've made. Where's the balance here? What's the sight picture that you have of this? It's out of balance. Scripture says, don't fear the one. I don't fear the one who can take my life. I fear the one who can take my name out of the book of life. So when I begin to meditate these things, joy rises up within me because God has walked with me through things, I guess is what I want to say. And I'm filled with His joy. I'm filled with His peace, even in that situation. And even though with everything within me, my flesh wanted to speak and say things, it wasn't my place. I am not the Holy Spirit. It's not my place to correct or point out things unless God opens the door. And He didn't open the door. But what I realized in all of this that happened on Christmas Day is God was dealing with me. Again, sitting there like someone who's dumb, not being able to speak, meditating all the things and all the goodness of God, and seeing exactly what I've explained to you. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, giving honor to somebody who dishonors God doesn't make sense. It doesn't compute with me. That doesn't mean that I don't still love that person. That doesn't mean that I didn't have the best thoughts for that person. I wanted no part of their sin. I wanted no part of their rebellion. But that doesn't mean, and again, she was the mother of my children. But is she going to take them to heaven? For that fact, am I going to cause them to make it to heaven? Externally, no. Internally, by my lifestyle and by my will being surrendered to Him, and by the joy that's in me and the hope that's in me, and giving praise and glory and honor to God, that is what's going to cause them to be provoked to jealousy and seek what I have inside me. It's not my going at them all the time. It's my heart fixed on Him. And then when He does give a word, it's a word that doesn't just come out and drop to the ground, but it speaks right into the spirit and the soul of that individual, whether it's my son, my daughter, whoever. You see what I'm saying? See, you can see the two different places here. One is seeking after superficial things, things that will not last, and one is seeking after supernatural things that cannot fade away. Do you see what I'm saying? Your focus, your perspective, that's what it's all about. As we entered into praise and worship this morning, maybe songs we've sung a million times, but the point is, I get lost in that because my heart reaches out for the Lord. My heart yearns. My soul yearns and hungers for God, for the presence of God, for the goodness of God, to hear what He has to say. whether it comes right directly from this or he's ministering to my heart or your heart. Amen? That's why the joy is exploding inside me. The peace is overwhelming. John 10, 27 and 28 say, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." There are folks out there in this world today, both in the church and out of the church, who think that they can just tiptoe through the tulips. It's all a bowl of cherries. We're going to come out on the other end okay, and we're going to make it no matter what we do. Sorry, folks. The evidence is absolutely to the contrary. Now, let me say this. I'm going to remind you again. The only consolation I feel in my spirit for the loss is the fact that God spoke to me when we first heard she was missing. And the smile was put in my heart by the Spirit of God that she made peace with God before she went. That's what I hang on to. I'm not here to judge the other things. I'm not here to tell people what a bad person she was. She was a product of the enemy's devices in her life from the very day she was born. She had an opportunity. She knew the things of God, but she rejected them, rejected her children. And can you see the foolishness of this? My son wants to honor her by going out and sending balloons and remembering all the things that she did. Superficial things. Not one thing that she did from the time that she rebelled against God ever brought my son or my daughter to a place of looking at the Lord, rejoicing in Him, and understanding that He was the one who had the answers for everything in their life, even this loss. Are you with me? Don't throw stones at me. I'm just preaching the truth. Do you understand what I'm saying? Our perspective gets all out of bounds because we can't seem to, in many cases, get rid of this thing that desires so many things that are not good for us and that are not the best that God has for us. There are things to satisfy us right now in this point. I'm reminded when we first talked about divorce and when I got custody of my kids and my heart cried out, my heart was broken. At that point, you know, I wasn't angry at God, but I wasn't really serving God. And so I went to the Lord and I said, "God, I need to know that if anything happens to me, if you take me home for whatever reason, that my children will have some place to go where they can turn to, be safe, have solace, and be comforted. Where's the only place I know of? In the hand of God, in the presence of God." Amen? Praise the Lord. Once again, peace comes on the scene. God begins to deal with me and a different perspective comes. After I've spilled my guts and laid it all out, what I did was after all the counsel that people told me, and again, the naysayers, you know, just yakking and yakking and yakking, tie it outside, I don't want to hear it. Tell me something that shows me who the Lord is that brings hope into my life and restores the joy of my salvation. Verse 28, John chapter 10. "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." But it takes a decision to do the right thing and not sit in the muck and the mire and the mully grubs. "Oh, woe is me. I've been ill done to. Oh, why did this happen to me?" Jesus is the provider and the healer. And He does that by His stripes. And that healing is not just physical. Salvation is not just a spiritual thing. It's a physical thing also. Amen? In Him and Him only is fullness of joy. In Him and Him only is the answers to every aspect, every situation in our lives. Amen? Isaiah 26:3, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed." The picture I get is something that is absolutely in concrete. And why does He keep us in perfect peace? Why does He keep that person in perfect peace? Because that person trusts in Him. Now, I can also tell you there was a time in my life when I was so worried about something happening to my parents that it superseded my love for God. And fear was in control of my life at that point. But I also understand that through the things that I've gone through, and like the Scripture says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered, that's what God had to do, is he had to work in me and change me. Remember, he's the author and finisher of my faith. Amen? And your faith. He has begun a good work in us, and he'll perform that work. We have those promises. Now, once again, you can see why joy explodes inside of me. No matter what the situation is, no matter what the calamity that appears on the horizon or stands right in front of my face, he is the answer. And I come through it unscathed. I didn't say not changed, but unscathed. It means there's no harm. I've gone through the furnace, and there's been no smell of smoke on me. But the bonds that held me down, that kept me back, are gone. Amen? Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to read just a few verses there. Ephesians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Am I confusing y'all? Or are you with me? Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You see, everything that I can think of, in fact, everything that's beyond what I can think of, is wrapped up in him. Are you with me? Are y'all with me? It's wrapped up in him. He is the one that's far beyond what I could ever ask or think. He contains everything that's far beyond what I could ask or think. It's all in him. Amen? If I can think of it, it's because he put it in my heart. If I can't think of it, it's things that are too wonderful, but yet he is the one who pulls and pushes those things into our lives as we serve him and look at him. Amen? It's all about him. Once again, he is far beyond all that we can ask or think. And the Lord and the Father, both together, this triune Godhead, are far beyond what we could ask or think. God, who's the Creator, brought us into this world, has a plan for us to be in fellowship with him. Jesus, the one who enacted that plan by unselfishness and a willingness to obey the Father at any cost, even the cost of his own life. And the Holy Spirit, who brings the comfort, the wisdom, the insight, the knowledge, teaches us things which are too wonderful for us to contain. Amen? And that's why my heart is exploding with joy inside of me. I don't suffer any lack. Do you understand what I'm saying? That didn't say that there's not natural things that I may not see right, that I may not have, or other things that I may not have at this moment, but they're within my grasp as long as my focus is on him and my heart yearns after him and your heart yearns after him. Amen? That's what it's all about. Rejoicing in the fact that no matter what happens in your life, if you make a mistake, he's there to pick you up. He is your righteousness. He's the one that when you repent, removes it from you as far as the east is from the west. Amen? That brings joy and hope and hilarity. Amen? Doesn't that bring confidence to you? And then knowing that no matter what it is that I need, he knows what I have need of before I ask. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All I need to do is keep my focus on him. Praise him and worship him day in and day out. Spend time with him in the word, in prayer, in fellowship. And I can suffer no loss. Now you can say, well, what if it was one of your children? Or what if I can suffer no loss? Because he says, I will turn all things to good for those who love me and those who are the called according to my purpose. His purpose, amen? Not our purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going into this new year with new insight, new hope, new joy, a more profound joy and hope and insight and understanding than I've ever had in my life. And I still haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg, if you will, the proverbial iceberg. Like Harry says sometimes, he said, man, he said, if I get any happier, if I get any more joy, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. Reminds me of another song. If he keeps on blessing and blessing, if he keeps on pouring it on, if his love just keeps richer, getting richer, if he keeps on giving a song, if it keeps getting better and better, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. Just receive it and bask in it. I can tell you right now, my cup runs over. My cup runs over. How about yours?
Amen.
How about yours? Hallelujah. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can snatch us out of His hand. We read that earlier. Nothing can snatch us out of His hand. Hallelujah. I give Him praise today. I praise You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Without Him, there is no hope. We all know that. Without Him, there is no joy. There is no peace. And without Him, there is never a real understanding of love. What love is. Amen? He is my all in all. Without Him, I'd fall. Amen? I will look to the hills where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God's good. God's good. He's so good. Sometimes we lose sight of that over little things, trivial things. And I'm not saying that it's not a big thing when you lose somebody. I'm not saying there's not emotion, there's not hurt, no matter what the circumstances. But the point is, where's your focus? Where's my focus? Is it caught up in the loss or understanding that no matter what it is, God can turn it to good, even though it was meant for my harm, as long as I serve Him and I'm called for His purpose, not my purpose. Amen? Praise the Lord. I know that these words touched each of you right where you needed to be touched. Not all the same, in the same place or in the same situations or the same thoughts, but it touched you. You know why? Because it's not my words. I ask God, what do You want for Your people? I always ask Him that. And I'm one of His people. Amen? One of the things the Scripture talks about, Ephesians or Galatians 1, it says that building faith, edifying, comforting, exhorting, that's what it's all about. And I trust that today, each one of you, as myself, were comforted and exhorted and enlightened. Saw a little different perspective maybe of situations and things that happened. How do they know it's not hopeless? when you have that vision in your heart that God placed there at the moment you prayed about any situation, and you got that smile in your heart, and again, that's the only way I can describe it to you, just that smile in your heart that you know that He's taking care of it. Amen? He's taking care of it. Doesn't make any difference what my feelings say or feel, or what my son's feelings say or feel. Doesn't make any difference. I'm trusting in what the Lord says and reveals. How about you? Amen? The only safe place, the only solid place to stand or to walk. Amen? That foundation. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Something about His name. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. My Master, my Savior. Thank you today, Lord, for revealed knowledge from you as to who you are. What you have prepared both in this life and in the life to come for those who serve you, who diligently seek you and serve you, Lord, with their whole heart, will take up their cross and follow you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you not only for insight, but wisdom. And with the wisdom, the understanding. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Father, today we pray for a world that is confused, Lord. A world that's confused, lost, and undone without you. And even some who profess to know you, Lord, who don't know you because they only know about you. They don't have that intimate fellowship, that intimate knowledge of you. We pray for those people today, Lord. Enlighten them. Holy Spirit, go. Enlighten them. Enlighten their understanding, Lord. Illuminate their understanding, Lord. Reveal yourself to them. You're in control, Lord. You're in control. Father, at this moment, I just want to take the time to thank you, Lord, for being with our troops. At this very hard time, Lord, not being able to be with their families, but making the sacrifice, Lord, to help and oppress people, Lord, and to keep us, we in this country, free. I pray for all men, Lord, for those in leadership, Lord. I pray for them. We pray for them together, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them, Lord, that you would turn hearts vile, filthy, full of ugliness and darkness, Lord, to the light, which is you, Lord. Give them insight and understanding. Reveal yourself to them, Lord, so they can rule wisely. They won't do it in pride or arrogance, they'll do it with a heart knowing that without you, it's impossible. But with you, nothing is impossible. Deliver them from their consciences, Lord. From their thoughts. Cause them to turn to your thoughts. Now, Lord, bless your people. Go with them, not only today, but throughout this week, Lord. Let that smile come into their heart that your presence is close. And that no matter what arises, no matter what for the moment may steal our focus, again, just for a moment, their help, their joy, their answer is in you. Let that become more real than it's ever been for all of us in this house, Lord. We know it, but we don't want to take it for granted, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your mercies and salvation, your salvation, Lord, is new every day. We receive it now by faith in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, bless the fellowship as we dismiss. We sanctify the food. We receive it with thanksgiving, Lord, in Jesus' name. All who agree, say amen. Be blessed.